government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this Monday. Well, let's see. Yeah, it's Monday evening on the West Coast, and it's the 21st of December on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone, now it's the 22nd of December, and points beyond the Atlantic Ocean. We'd like to welcome all those listening to us tonight on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. I had an opportunity today to spend a couple of hours with my good friend, former U.S. Marine, Drew Raines, and we talked about some of this issue of the non-birth certificate of our good buddy, Dwight David Eisenhower, or David Dwight Eisenhower, depending on which story you want to believe. And then, of course, that wasn't even his real name. So I'm still working on this article, getting it posted. I'm telling you, it's a graphic nightmare, but when it's done, it should look great and read very easily and be extremely informative, not to mention shocking. So be patient, those of you who are wondering where the article is. It's being posted on the website. I've been spending a number of hours working on it. It's an issue of laying it out and making sure things line up and go where they're supposed to go, if you programmers know what's involved. And it's a monstrous piece, so please be patient. Tonight's guest is a talk show host in his own right. He's a researcher, a journalist, an author. He's a naturopath as well, and he's quite renowned around the world for his information on things like the swine flu, bird flu, SARS, many of the modern types of technology that are used on mind control, and we can go on and on and on with accolades, but it's probably best to bring him on board Evident Footprints tonight, my good friend, Dr. A. Drew Ott. Drew, welcome to the show.
Well, a good Monday evening to you, Don. I know when you get busy writing and typing, everything starts to blur, and I know how that goes.
Well, where I am, it's already Tuesday, you know, so I have to, like, just put myself back in another place, you know. It's really crazy, this time zone thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
Especially when you consider that there is no time in the real reality of eternity.
Uh-huh.
So clocks are kind of a an old, outdated type of control system, I think. They serve a purpose, but not always when you're on a talk radio show. What's going on in your world? The last time you were with us, I think we talked about a number of different topics. I know we talked about reptilians and who's controlling the planet and that type of stuff. And I enjoyed that conversation as well as our listeners. So how are the reptilians treating you these days?
Well, I haven't seen any. Let's put it that way, and I don't hope to see any.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing. Well, they're around, believe me. You just have to catch them shape-shifting, I guess.
Well, yeah. let them stay buried as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of things happening as we wind up the old year and look into the new. I've been keeping abreast on what's been happening in Copenhagen. I'm trying to get my computer to boot up here, but it's not just sitting there doing nothing. I hope it's not broken. I had some parts fall off of it, which is not good. But so anyway, yeah, there's a lot going on in you know, the the midnight hours, the Senate is trying to get the Obama health care Gestapo plan to pass through. As is usually the case, whenever you have a shape-shifting form of legislation, and I say that tongue-in-cheek because it will, in fact, change so much about what America is as far as freedom, okay? This health care is nothing but, this health care plan is nothing but another erosion of individual and personal rights and freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're looking to pass it as they go into their Christmas break, a la the 1913 Federal Reserve debacle that they did as well. So yeah, that's a concern. We've been looking at that on my talk show, and certain hosts of or certain guests have come on and given their insights on that. And Don, it's very much a concern. The implications of that are just, you know, one step closer to a Nazi Germany type of reality. I mean, it is that intrusive. You're talking about selective care. You're talking about ostracizing and eliminating certain groups that need the health care, and on and on. But I think from my standpoint, what is coming without a doubt out of the pages of this health care is the ability to track everybody, and as far as the chipping of the population, the information technology portions of that that health care are indeed massive. And the new systems are just, you know, what they are. Obama himself has invested heavily in that technology. It's just a matter of getting the legislation passed, the funding approved, and away we go. This really has nothing to do with health care, Don. It has everything to do with more and more control on the human population, at least in America.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I've heard various things that they've hidden other issues inside this bill. Gun control is one. Now, I don't know if that's true. These rumors were going around for a while. The emails, I've read page 1003, and this is on there. And what are you hearing about the draconian types of legislation that are often hidden, tucked away, where nobody can really see these things? Has anything come out?
I've tried to read the bill. Talk about a cure for insomnia. I mean, even if you wake up first thing in the morning and start reading it, you're nodding off. I mean, it's 1,000 pages, and there's all kinds of possibilities with this thing. It's a behemoth. There's no place for it, Don. There really isn't. To have that be one of the focal points of this administration, just does not bode well at all. And it looks like it's going to pass in the middle of the night. What a start to the new year, 2010.
Mm-hmm. One thing that comes to mind, and this becomes ever more clear, especially with the research I've been doing for the past 18 days, nonstop, virtually, just on an hour or so of sleep a night. And I'm not looking for pity from anyone. When you become driven to get to the bottom of something, you just put in the hours until you get it done. I'm noticing more and more as I go down the rabbit hole and look at what's been done historically in terms of various types of legislation and who is doing it, we have these issues of legality when we have a usurper in the White House, when we have someone who's illegally there. Well, they've been placed there by their cronies, but you know, we're looking at just a continuation of organized crime from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. And in the past 18 days, I went back more than 150 years. I went back closer to 200 years in tracing this genealogy. And I find that actually I only had to go back about 100 years. And there was so much obfuscation and corruption involved in all of this. And it's been a repeated pattern at the highest level of government in this country. What I'm getting at is I think that there is recourse in that regard, that we're just witnessing organized crime. People are taking all of this as if this is legitimate. And of course, well, you know, when you own the army and you own the weapons and all of that, you can scare people, that's for sure. But there have to be consequences for many of the things that have been done. And many, many illegal acts have been committed to the demise of this country. And we're witnessing the outcome of that, or the fruit of that right now. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. I don't think we've had a legitimate duly elected president, really. It's been more of an appointment. I think the last one, of course, was probably, even before Truman, FDR. But, you know, what caused FDR to remain as president well longer than the Constitution appointed two terms, you know? Yeah, we were in the middle of a crisis, a war crisis, but, you know, without a doubt, a power behind the throne, Don, a principality in power that is basically searching for a global elite and a global dominion completely. And, you know, we've read a lot of books that point to what FDR knew as far as the invasion fleet of the Japanese attacking Pearl Harbor. That was well known. They were tracking it. They could have stopped. They, meaning the intelligence agencies, the OSS, and even Navy intelligence. They knew. They knew. There's no doubt in my mind that they had pretty much cracked the codes and knew what was coming. And yet they sat on the information, didn't warn the command at Pearl Harbor. And away we go. There's just a lot of collusion going on, and for reasons for basically shaping the world and the Middle East. There would never be the nation of Israel without the events of World War II. And of course, we know what the final outcome of that battle was all about. As we look at 2010, the rhetoric is just getting, you know, higher and hotter for intervention and military action in Iran. It's just an accelerating problem.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the troops moving into Afghanistan. I think not so much to control the Taliban and the insurgents, but to prepare for an attack on Iran from two fronts. Look at the map of the world and the map of the Middle East. You have, see, Afghanistan bordering Iran on the east and Iraq on the west. And here we have all these, the major troop movements in those two countries. It just seems like a perfect way to go into Iran.
Yes. Now, a lot of people, I think, erroneously surmise that these wars are being conducted over there because of oil. And I'm convinced that there's much more to this than just controlling some desert or some ancient lands. I mean, the word ancient probably applies more to what's going on because of what is there in those countries.
Mm-hmm.
What's been buried, what's been discovered. Saddam Hussein had discovered some things. And, of course, what's portrayed for the public in terms of the cover story is nothing to do with what's really going on. They have to have a pretext to be over there, and that's what 9/11 was about, of course, to make money. And all these wars that you're talking about are really orchestrated. Yes, the Japanese attack, but that was the plan amongst these people. They had to draw the United States into the war. That was the issue from the beginning, is that the United States stayed out of World War II up until the point when we were attacked. And that was plotted and planned. Winston Churchill was involved in that, as well as some of the other leaders of European countries. And basically he said he would promise that he'd get Roosevelt to commit to coming into the war. He certainly set us up for a big fall when they outlawed gold. They destroyed the economy at that point.
Uh-huh.
So this is all by design. And they do this under the cloak of authority, government, and that is the biggest crime, really. They're committing treason, and they're committing bank fraud, and they're committing all of these other crimes against humanity, and they've never been held accountable. Never.
Yeah, that most definitely is it's a true statement. And it just keeps getting, you know, the slopes just keep getting slipperier and slipperier. And, you know, the powder keg the world is sitting on right now, Don, as you know, the Chinese, the Russians, and Iran, they are united in a front, and an attack on Iran is attack on Russia and China. And make no mistake, I think that's what they want. They want to institute another world conflict again. So it's interesting, no doubt about it. It seems like they can't get away without having a world conflagration war at least every 60, 70 years. We go back to who funded both sides of the conflict under Kaiser Wilhelm, as we talked about off the air. You look at the end of the Great War, World War One. You look at how the bankers of England and the United States basically divvied up the spoils of war, and how the great monolithic corporation now called Total Inc. out of France was formed, and basically control of that given to John D. Rockefeller and his banking cartel. And it's just funny how they are granted the real, Germany had one thing that Rockefeller coveted above all else, and that was the Turkish oil company, which was the only competition to the Standard Oil cartel that the Rockefeller had built. Now that Turkish oil company just happened to be headquartered in Baghdad, in Iraq. And as I go, if you look at what happened with Total Inc. and the development of that in the 1920s into what we know now as that developing the oil fields there in the Iraq and the Syrian oil fields. We now see the reason why George Herbert Walker Bush had such an enmity towards Saddam, in the fact that Saddam basically nationalized the Baghdad assets of the Turkish oil company, the Rockefellers. And it's, you know, it's not all about oil. You're right. There's more to it than that. There's, you know, Iraq is the ancient land of Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization, basically. And make no mistake, there are incredible assets hidden there still.
Mm-hmm. Some of which I think Saddam found and was in the process of, let's say, reviving, if that's the correct word.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, if you recall, the first, what do they call it, Desert Storm, the first Persian Gulf War, when 41 was in office.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reference to who was going to participate in the war. In other words, which allies were going to come along and follow suit. And first of all, they knew, the European countries, France and Germany, for example, knew very well that this was a contrived war. That they certainly know enough about when they create wars as to who's behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really have the permission of the whole group. So this was a power play amongst the Illuminati families to see who would react. And if you recall, Bush sort of suckered Saddam Hussein into attacking Kuwait, as if to say, go ahead, you know, I don't care. Go ahead and attack him. And he used that as a pretext to come in to rescue the Kuwaitis, you see, when his intention all along was to invade Kuwait and to invade Iraq. And you had actually written a piece, the Sound of Silence, on what occurred in that war. And that was just the first one. They did it again. Second time, it became a big bank heist. $100 trillion stolen from the central bank. And they murdered those that were instructed to go in and get the money. We're talking gold and cash and gems and all kinds of rare artwork and probably some antiquities as well. But at that time, Saddam was in a contractual agreement, and this was worth several billion dollars each to Germany and France to build the underground infrastructure to start using this technology that he discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hesitant about that, number one, because they wanted to get paid. And I'm presuming that they had some conscience and wanted to complete the work that they had done. I think Bush's fear was that this technology, if used by Saddam Hussein, probably would have made him the most powerful dictator on the planet. And because of the nature of the technology. And those intelligence agencies listening in know exactly what I'm talking about. So,
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I, you know, the so-called Israelis, if you look at their history and you know, the Hamburg conference of 1819, they basically met there in Hamburg, Germany, had a big conference, and with the main topic of discussion was the concept of Zionism. You know, Jerusalem and the ancient land of Israel, is that really their homeland, their ancient homeland? And as, you know, the records show, Don, the European Jews that met there, you know, the vast majority, 85% or so of them, realized that, no, their homeland is the Khazarian region and or the Babylonia region. You know, the Talmudic Jews, they, you know, the title of the Talmud is the Babylonian Talmud. That's where it originated from.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they they couldn't comprehend why an Israeli nation would be formed there in that critical area. And so they basically voted it down and ordered all mention of Zionism to be basically obliterated from the mainstream rabbinic prayer books. And that really caused a schism in Jewry. Okay, it, many of the rabid Zionist individuals left left Europe when actually emigrated to America, and that's where the Rockefellers came from. You look at their lineage and their ancestry. They actually changed their name from Rogenfeder to Rockefeller, and the rest is basically history. It's, you know, if you go into Indicator of Jerusalem today, you see you know, family names prominently there. The Rockefeller Museum. There's no doubt that Rockefeller was Jewish by lineage now, not by faith. John D. had basically embraced Christianity for public consumption, but behind the scenes he was very much a Zionist Jew. And that's evident in all of the museums and the art collections and all of that with the Rockefeller name on it in Israel today. And so, you know, I really believe that their end target is to establish their state of the Iraqi area, okay, the ancient Mesopotamia, and then eventually the whole region, Iran and is ancient Persia, and whoever controls that really has the richest plum on the tree, so to speak. So,
well, it seemed to me a number of years ago, the Israelis were touting all these oil wells that were being and we're talking about exploratory wells in the Dead Sea. And they, or that region, and they had claimed to have found one of the largest oil wells or oil finds in anywhere on the planet. And then you didn't hear very much about that later on.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they've been busy sticking their nose in all the affairs of everybody else in the world. And that everyone permits this to go on is beyond me. Because I'm running into the Zionism connection with the research that I'm doing too. It's evident when a ruler has a winged dragon as his personal coat of arms. What does that tell you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. And so, you know, you see the connections between the House of Rothschild, the barons of Wall Street and the Rockefeller Union Bank and the Harriman families, all of these blue bloods. And, you know, Don, as we really start digging, we find that the funders of the Nazi regime, you know, look no further than the House of Rothschild in the city of London, look no further than the barons of Wall Street. That's what brought Nazism into power then, funded it in, and make no mistake, at the conclusion of World War II, it didn't die, it just went into hiding in Wall Street in the city of London. All that, all of those German bombers that came laid those bombs on London, you find that it just really is strange that not one of those bombs ever landed in the financial district of London. Just quite a coincidental thing, you know. And there's quite a body of evidence. I don't know how much you've read about the history of Hitler and his bloodline. Very, very convincing case that he is the illegitimate bastard son of Rothschild himself as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm quite familiar with a lot of that, too.
So, yeah.
Well, that's the end of that discussion. No, I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, I just want to mention to the listeners that we focus then into the area of Massachusetts, the campus of Harvard, and we see this eugenics research lab going into the Human Genome Project. We see the development of the supercomputer, the artificial intelligence program of PROMIS. We see all this in the Genome Project, finally breaking down the human gene patterns, and not only the human gene patterns, but the DNA structures of viruses. And we see then virus manufacturing and reverse engineering being taken to whole new levels. And again, we just focus in the area there around Boston and going into the hallowed halls of the Ivy League schools, Harvard and Yale, and we see some pretty amazing things coming out of the woodwork there. We see the brain trust behind the think tank that now controls the White House. We see the reemergence of basically the Nazi pattern of eugenics, and we see this coming full score into the healthcare bill. The czars, well, what a funny name for brain trust people that Obama puts in. The czar of Rahm Emanuel and his brother, the doctor, that they're on record, Don, as wanting to limit the population and reduce the world's population, and the eugenics program is all part of that. It's just amazing how they've done it, and they wouldn't have been allowed to reach the point where they have gotten this far without a compliant and willing mass media to basically keep the people from knowing the truth on this.
Yeah, well, if we would unplug our televisions and our regular AM, FM radios, that would be the end of the mass media. They wouldn't have anyone to talk to. And people would start waking up and start paying attention to what's really going on. But priorities are in a different place. And I heard you mention Joe Sixpack today. Maybe not by that name, but you know, that's the mindset of the average American, and believe me, it's not just in America that problem exists. I know many places in Europe, for example, where people just sit around all day and all night drinking. Mm-hmm. That's all they do. They might eat a little bit, but they continue on drinking till it's time to go home. Go home, do whatever they do in the early part of the day, and pick up where they left off the next day. What an existence. And I guess it's really not much different from what Americans do anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, we can talk about the importance of nutrition and that in health. And that's what, you know, my focus is so much on the shows now. You know, you've got to eliminate some of this negativity, and there's so much bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we fail to look that there's a lot of good news too. There's a lot of positive things we can focus on as well, and not try to become so depressed by the bleak picture that's out there.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm just observing it. I'm not buying into it. Mm-hmm. I hope you understand that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just pointing out a reality, because it doesn't have to be that way. We've got these opposing realities. There are people that are paying attention to what's going on. There are others who are not paying attention to what's going on. And as a result, you have healthy people and you have sick people, or you have people that are being affected by the things they hear, the things they see, even if they're not really aware of what they're hearing or what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking in terms of consciousness or personal responsibility and taking charge of one's own life. I've listened to a few of the interviews that you've done with Dr. Wayne Pickering.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a very direct way of looking at life and just going, you know, encouraging people to go after what it is their heart is telling them to go after, and not to beat around the bush. It's pretty simple. Yet we have to, at the same time, watch what's going on. We have to be observant about what's going on, because it's been our ignorance that's led us to where we are. And in a big area, like you mentioned nutrition, a big area is not knowing what one is eating.
Mm-hmm.
Or what things that a person is putting in their body. Do you want to tackle a particular area in that regard?
Oh, wow. We could, we surely could, but we just to lightly touch on, I mean, there's so many things. You know, when I interview individuals like Dr. Pickering, it's 12-week session, basically. We cover the whole gamut, and there's just so much to look at, and not only what you eat, but just the hydration factors of water, which is so underappreciated and overlooked. Water is one of the things, Don, that the world takes for granted, without a doubt, and yet it's one of the most important things to consider. Just give you a side note here in my home state, the whole municipality was shut down just a couple of weeks ago because of the nitrate level in the water was so high that it actually caused the death of some infants. And, you know, mom would come and just pour their, mix their formula up with the tap water and thinking it was safe. And these young children were just suffocating because you have a certain level of nitrogen and nitrates in your bloodstream. You just can't, your blood can't carry oxygen. So even though the baby's breathing, there's the oxygen's not doing its job. Not binding through the lungs, and so the baby, there was a number of deaths leading to the nitrate level. Now that's just an example, because that's across this country. You look at the Environmental Protection Agency and the levels of what they call safe nitrates in the culinary water systems, it seems like it increases on an upward scale. Higher and higher and higher. 30 or 40 years ago, the nitrate levels would never be allowed to be where they are today. And so, you know, the bottom line is Americans are being oxygen starved, and there's so many dread diseases, chronic illnesses that are tied to low oxygen in the blood and in the brain. Don, and I, you know, just one simple thing like that can make a huge difference, and yet the mainstream medical establishment would think you're as loony as nutcase if you ever focus on that. I've been there, done that in symposiums and health conferences and focusing on water, they just roll their eyes and think you've lost your mind. But in reality, that's a hot issue that's really been overlooked. Nitrates and nitrites in the water binding with the oxygen. Not only that, but your your ammonium perchlorate levels, which are, again, caused from chemtrail activity, caused from anytime you have a rocket launch at Cape Canaveral, for heaven's sakes, you're burning a lot of perchlorate. That's rocket fuel. And more this percolates down into the water system and water strata. Ammonium perchlorate and nitrates, they are just not able to be taken out by even a filter system. You really need to to crack the water molecule by means of steam distillation and drop out what's left over, the volatile organic chemicals, VOCs, out in the steam and the wastewater that flows out. But, you know, Don, until people realize the roles of water, the American public is going to get sicker and sicker and dumber and dumber, dumb and dumber, in their IQs. They're just going to just keep going, downhill and, you know, ever more rapidly. So yeah, that's what we do as far as, you know, our bully pulpit. You know, we have to tell people, you know, watch out for these basic things. Watch out for the effects of sodium fluoride on the frontal lobes of your brain. It's a cumulative effect. You take, you know, a sodium fluoride toothpaste that has a warning label on it, Don. You ingest more than one, a little pea-sized amount, it tells you to contact your poison control center immediately. And people think, well, you know, I put a little bit of sodium fluoride toothpaste on my toothbrush twice a day, sometimes three times a day, it's not a problem. But sodium fluoride accumulates in the bloodstream, in the tissues, and into the brain. And before long, you come down with a dread disease.
Now, you described, true, the doctors at the seminars rolling their eyes. Was that the standard glassy-eyed look, or was that just the unwillingness to get serious and reveal the truth? In other words, you know, you're revealing the truth, and you get that reaction. What are your feelings about that? Or is it just because you're an impediment to them selling more drugs?
All of the above, probably. It's something that I don't know the answer to it, Don. I just know that considering the fact that so many diseases are waterborne, they think it's laughable, but it's I guess the same academia scholars looked at Columbus and other individuals the same way, you know, when they thought the Earth was round or that the Earth actually revolved around the sun, not vice versa. But anyway, yeah, it just. Just a matter of ignorance too, and not wanting to rock the and change the status quo. Like Dr. Pickering says, only person that embraces change is a wet baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He won't complain about the change. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's the reality. I mean, look at even the effects of contaminated waters across the globe, and you see so much of the third world countries, they have disease states still because of you know, the lack of clean, good water. I mean, it should be a no-brainer. So why here, why in America with, you know, our groundwaters that are utilized throughout the Midwest and the Eastern Seaboard and so forth, more and more, you know, leaching in the results of nitrates from fertilizers. You have throughout North Carolina these massive hog factory farms that you know, these leaching ponds, these that evaporate into the atmosphere, huge, I mean, tons of nitrates. And, you know, the precipitation, when they bind, the nitrogen ion binds, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Again, I just can't emphasize more how important it is to kind of eliminate nitrates in the drinking water, so you can have a steady supply of oxygen again to your brain and to your tissues. Because when oxygen is shut off, you really have a problem in so many ways.
Well, it makes sense for those people who are getting nitrates in their drinking water to stop drinking tap water. And there is no guarantee if you're drinking spring water or bottled water that it's any better. It requires someone doing a little bit of homework, but also considering maintaining some kind of a water filtering system at home. I'm sure you recommend that on the basis of what I've heard you talk about. What are your thoughts along those lines?
Well, you know, you just gotta learn about how to make water pure, and there's some pretty good filters out there, Don, but nothing really takes the place of a good home water distiller. I mean, there's a lot of false rumors, you know, going around about distilled water is harmful because it's dead water, it's been cooked. Oh, come on, that's ridiculous. It is flat-out ridiculous. You know, it's like saying, well, you can't go and laugh and have fun. It's harmful for your health. Enjoy yourself. Have too good of a time, right? Well, water cannot be too pure. End of story. I'm defining purity by just the definition of a low total dissolved solid count, a TDS count in the water. The more TDS particles that you eliminate from the water, the better hydrating it is, and the more the oxygen molecules are freed up as well. So you can get a certain filtration, reverse osmosis devices, but they're not going to hold a candle to the steam distillation units as far as purity levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there's, you know, people also say, well, distilled water will leach minerals from your body when you drink it. Well, again, that's a rumor put out by filter companies, basically, to take away the reality of the distiller. The truth is that distilled water will help the body discharge heavy metals, will help the body detoxify from certain minerals that the body can't use correctly, extracellular minerals, okay, that can cause arthritis or other debilitating diseases. So you want those minerals flushed out of your body, and you need that with a good high quality water.
Mm-hmm. So. What you're describing sort of causes me to go outside the box a bit and contemplate the mentality of creating perpetual illness, because that keeps the business going. What about perpetual health? I mean, there's a market that's totally untapped when you think about it. It's not been exploited. It's virgin territory. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's what in my book, Wellness Secrets for Life, I show, and this, again, I wrote this book well over a decade ago. It's I started writing it back in '96, mm-hmm. And I showed then, Don, and it's even never more true than right now that the current healthcare system is just simply unsustainable. We're not talking about healthcare; we're talking about disease care, okay? Because, mm-hmm. You know, if you're really looking at prevention, there's no need to spend all these billions and billions, if not trillions, of dollars just in research worldwide for disease care. We, you know, there's not any focus, or very little focus, I should say, on prevention of these disease states and looking at natural ways to curb it and to actually reverse disease states. There's no chemical deficiency in people. Let's say you have a chronic headache. Does that mean you have a Tylenol deficiency? no, no. Now no. You gotta look at what's really getting to the root cause of it and providing the body what it needs to rejuvenate itself. Mm. And that's what's missing in the equation. Always has been, and always will be. So as the you know our Congress and Senate debates this healthcare system and worldwide, you know, big pharma wants to control the outcome. The reality is unless and until they adopt the nutritional agenda, there won't be anything meaningful coming out. We'll just continue to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars on an unsustainable system. Now, you know, if you have a chronic problem where you've like an accident or you're in a car accident or a fall or whatever, you have broken bones, you bet America's healthcare system is one of the very best in the world, if not the best. But when you have a chronic disease state, and more people are falling into that category, whether it's diabetes, which is rampant, on an epidemic proportion these days in America. Cancer, of course, follows along closely, and heart disease. Those three right there can be totally eliminated with proper nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out, no doubt about it.
Now, there is such a wide variety of diseases that fall under the category of, come about as a result of mycoplasmic infections. And there's very little taught about that, yet the practitioners out there that are getting positive results with their patients, in many, many cases, these people revert back to a 100% perfect state of health after suffering for many years, maybe from lupus or MS or multiple or muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my intuition tells me that most of those diseases are really a result of some lingering infection that is not really addressed the proper way. Antibiotics, for example, are not, I don't think they're the best route. They can help in very severe cases, but the damage that's caused to the friendly bacteria sets up all of these side issues that come down the pike days or weeks, maybe even a couple of months after a person has been refraining from taking the antibiotics. And I'm interested in, you know, if you've had any experience in these areas and what your thoughts are on that particular aspect of health, because a lot of people are suffering from these diseases, and they're told every year around Labor Day that you know we need more money. It's always more money. Even in churches, you know, for you to be right with God, you've got to give your money. You know, give it to the middleman. And somehow it's the same message coming through mainstream medicine. That, you know, there's a price. If to be healthy, you have to have a lot of money. They've turned it into, you know, another vehicle to to make these killings on, no pun intended, on things like liver transplants or heart transplants. It's outrageous what they're charging for this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's just mycoplasms, Morgellons disease, Morgellons, however you want to pronounce it. It goes back again to the germ theory of disease versus the nutritional theory, where you strengthen the terrain. These strange, mutated mycoplasms that are, you know, very likely tied to your chemtrail sprays, etc. I know if you have a high oxygen content in your blood, these disease states just really have a hard time taking hold. It goes back to the old example when I finished up my doctorate degree in that and learned about nutrition and how it roots and works, and reading all of Bernard Jensen's work, and I had a professor that explained to me, well, to understand the terrain theory, it's like uncivilized caveman walking down a trail and coming upon the carcass of a dead deer that has been laying there in the trail for a week, and they turn the deer carcass over and the smell hits them, and these little slimy white wiggly worms pop out, and oh my goodness, another death from maggots.
Mm-hmm.
So they uneducated, unwilling to look past the reaction, they start fearing the death from maggots, not realizing that they're opportunistic. And that's an extreme example, Don, but it's really the same thing. Germs, whether they're viruses or bacteria, are opportunistic predators, okay? If you have a healthy cell membrane, if you have a strong white blood cell and helper T cell structure in your blood and body, you can be exposed to a number of nasties, and they just won't take hold in your body. And so it's a holistic mind-body-spirit approach to this thing. It's a way to change minds and mindsets is how what needs to happen if we're ever going to get a handle on the health care versus disease care.
Now, out of the substances, maybe they're just pure toxins in foods that people eat. The flavor enhancers, for example, you know, monosodium glutamate is one of the most mentioned, but there are others. I think it might be helpful for you to describe what types of foods, even if you have to name brand names, I don't know. I mean, if these things are in the brand name foods, certainly by all means you should be able to mention it. Of course,
we don't have enough time in the show to go into that. I've written a book about it, but The Secret Assassins in Food is a must read, where you can get all of the information on this. And by the way, you can order these books on my website, which is just www.meminerals.com. You'll be welcome to get those books and read all about that. But again, it goes back, Don, to what happens with these structures as far as the brain neurons are concerned, and really the chemistry of the blood, in the fact whether they allow the body to carry oxygen correctly or not. And it goes, that really is a simple formula. We all have heard the word carcinogenic. Well, carcinogen is a substance that basically robs oxygen. The root word of carcinogen, oxygen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you You have a myriad, hundreds of substances that are carcinogenic that are in our food supply. The basic rule of thumb and that is just to go back as much as possible to natural foods. You can't really even trust that something is organic anymore. They may say it is, but the definition of organic is pretty loose. So, you know, you just go back to as much as possible raw fruits and vegetables, nuts. Be aware that certain grains aren't really healthy for you. Whole grains, they've been touted as being so wonderful. Well, research now is showing that, you know, corn is, and wheat probably not the best thing for you to eat. They promote the gluten and the structures, the sugar content of sweet corn actually, brings about the explosion of different funguses in the body, and again, the end result, it drops down the amount of oxygen the cells can carry. So, yeah, if you really do a detailed blood workup in the body for the blood chemistry levels and show the ratios of nitrates and nitrogen versus oxygen in the blood, that really can tell a lot about the health of the individual by looking at the cells and tissues. It just goes back to drinking pure water like we talked about and eating raw fruits and vegetables as much as possible. That's the recipe. Berries are important daily to consume and stay away as much as possible from packaged and prepared foods. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have preservatives in a meat, whether it's a holiday ham or a lunch meat or whatever, pastrami or bologna or whatever, make no mistake that the preservatives are nitrogen based nitrates. Okay, so. Yeah. You know, that's what our society is all about. We're looking at microwave fast and easy under cellophane and wrapping and full of preservatives that are nitrogen based.
Now, there's a lot of information in the closing moments here. There's a lot of information coming out about soy now. This is sort of mirroring the butter margarine argument of a decade or so ago. Really, it's been going on a lot longer, but in the past few years, many, even in mainstream medicine, have been saying butter's really not bad for you. When you look at margarine's relationship to petroleum or plastic, you know, a byproduct of petroleum manufacturing, it's not the best thing to put in your body.
No, not at all. And again, butter is got some good qualities. If you're going to consume anything, consume pure butter, not the saturated fats and the chemical anomalies of margarine. Absolutely. Not digestible in the body at all. In fact, you know, dairy products as a whole, when you pasteurize and homogenize milk, Don, I tell you, you change the chemistry so much that it becomes a very difficult thing for the human body to digest. There's a great book out by Cohen called Milk, the Deadly Poison, which lays this out very well. In fact, one of the studies I had is, again, going through my doctorate, is a study that caused a lot of raised eyebrows. It was never allowed to hit mainstream media. It was conducted in the UK. 50 different young Jersey cows were put into an experiment. 25 were given raw milk. From the cows, the other 25 were given a homogenized pasteurized milk to see what the difference would be, okay? And we're talking calves that should be able to assimilate these milk proteins a lot better than humans. Keep that in mind. You know, the cows have a rumen, basically a second stomach, that allows them to digest a lot of things that humans would not be able to do. So the theory was that they would just have some differences perhaps in growth and weight gain and this type of thing, but lo and behold, the entire group that was put on the modern safe milk, they had 100% mortality. They all died. They just couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Well, I have an intolerance to certain dairy products, milk being one of them, and I'm wondering if that's not because of a buildup of toxicity that your body just can't handle it anymore, or is it because it actually, let's say, affects your DNA on some level, that it changes to where you cannot absorb any nutrients that might be in it?
Well, your casein protein, you must have enzymes to break it down, Don, and mm-hmm. when you homogenize and pasteurize the milk, again, to preserve it, okay, for market, you know, it extends the shelf lives into, you know, many weeks, if not a month or so, before it starts turning. And whereas raw milk, you have to pretty much drink it within, you know, a day. But these enzyme structures that break down the casein protein, they're just not in the homogenized and pasteurized process.
Mm-hmm.
And so when your body takes protein in like that that can't, it has no enzyme structure to break it down, the proteins eventually build up in your intestinal tract and get eventually into your bloodstream, and that causes just an increase in mucus. The body's got an immune system problem because it's trying to fight those protein molecules as an invading, you know, pathogen. So that's what, you know, really what Cohen brings out in his book and so well, and absolutely factual. So milk is for babies, the digestive tract of infants and babies. As they develop, they can take milk specific to the species. Mother's milk should be given, and then when they begin to take on solid food, that's the end of it. Just avoid milk at all costs. That should be a no-brainer when you understand the reality of what milk is.
Mm-hmm. Well, valuable information. Now, if someone wants to order your books, again, they can go to your website, and would you give that information out? And
sure.
Some titles, maybe, that you know, they could write down?
Well, start out with the number one book I would recommend is it's titled Nature's Minerals, Wellness Secrets for Life, and that the book can be purchased online at www.ME, stands for Mother Earth, meminerals.com. The second book is kind of a companion to that, telling you what you should avoid in your diet, and really the dangerous things that are in these processed and packaged foods, and that's Secret Assassins in Food. And the two together, you know, they're an easy read, Don. They're not a lot of technical jargon in there. It's written for the average layperson to get a handle on what's going on with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
it's probably recommended to put the six pack aside while you're reading the book anyway, right?
Well, again, there's moderation in all things is important, you know, Don,
yeah.
And a little bit of alcohol is probably a good thing to help speed along the digestive tract and everything, and you know, a good full wine at dinner time is not a bad thing. But
mm-hmm.
again, we just don't do it to excess. And,
yes.
And balance is important.
Well, I want to thank you, True, for being on tonight's show. And we have Christmas coming up. So I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And you'll be back again next week,
mm-hmm.
hopefully. So I'll have the opportunity to wish you a Happy New Year next week.
Well, God bless you, Don, and all the work you do. I'm looking forward to reading your paper. My computer is toasted. I don't know what's going on with my home computer and my laptop. Both are just sitting there, not even booting up. So I've got to get my computer man to come in and see what's going on. I don't know how you function anymore without computers, but they're great when they're working. When they're not, it's a little panic time. But
oh, I know. It's a pain in the neck for sure. Not sometimes literally. So
yes, sir.
I don't want to induce any headaches or anything like that, but yeah, I'm hoping to have it posted. I've been working on it all day. It's complicated, but laying it out, but once it's there and prepared, it's going to be really easy for people to connect the dots. It's a very, very interesting story, and it does absolutely play into what's going on today. It parallels what's happening today. And
fantastic.
I'll be interested in your feedback on the work as well.
Okay. Well, God bless you, Don, and you be safe, and you have a very, very Merry Christmas as well as to all of your listeners. And thank you again for having me on the show, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. Same here. Good night.
Good night.
Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest this evening, Dr. A. True Ott. Please visit his website at meminerals.com. That's www.meminerals.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for carrying this show, as well as blogtalkradio.com. And want to wish anyone who's listening in a Merry Christmas in case you miss one of the shows later on this week and don't catch our salutations. Be safe and know that you're in our prayers, and we look forward to your speedy and safe return. Also, I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Tonight we had Don on the sound. Thank you, Don. Sound was great. And again, we appreciate Dr. A. True Ott being on the show. I want to wish everyone out there a night filled with peace, love, and light. And until tomorrow night, have a good night.